Welcome in, Loons fans, for another edition of Loon Talk. Jonathan Harrison here alongside Dan Terrar and AJ Fredrickson, our normal crew. We are back, finally. It's been a couple weeks since we've had the whole crew all together, some scheduling conflicts. But here we are. We've got some stability here. Let's jump right in, boys. How we been doing over the last couple weeks? We haven't talked to each other quite a bit since the last time we all recorded together.
Yeah, doing great. Season's off to a great start. We're just waiting for the weather to warm up a bit, and I think that's happening, so it's all good.
Yeah, it kind of stinks that the first time we do a show in a couple of weeks is after an unfortunate loss, but, you know, maybe if they get back to winning ways this weekend, we'll have to take more time off while the winning streak continues.
You know, we're only here for the negativity. That's all people ever say about this podcast, is that we're always too negative, we're never positive about this team, so...
Really?
That's all we ever show up for is the negativity. So let's jump right into it. Disappointing loss at the weekend, the first loss of the season. We can kind of look at this in a small picture, looking at just the game alone, and then we can kind of look at a big picture as how the Loons have gotten through the first 5 weeks of the season. Tough schedule in that time frame. So let's start looking at the game. 2-0 loss to Philadelphia, where, boys, it really felt like Philadelphia handled that game from minute one to minute 90, and Minnesota really were never at the races.
Why are you so negative, man?
Hey, it's been a couple weeks. I had to let out this pent-up negativity.
Yeah, you know, it was Philadelphia looked really good, and Minnesota looked like a team that wasn't really good. AJ, back to you.
That's the in-depth analysis we've missed in these past couple weeks.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, because it's I get there on the road and everything, and I maybe the precursor from the past couple of matches prior to this one is that they've been a little better at home compared to last season already, so that's a bright light. But the road success they had last season, is the table going to flip, and now maybe the road is not going to be as friendly to them this season in the 2024 campaign. But Dan's right, kind of right from the get-go. And to Philadelphia's credit, they're no schlub. Like, it's a good squad they have out there as well, and they're on a pretty short tenure under Eric Ramsey's managerialship. So maybe some of his tactics were more implied and implemented this match. And they just didn't, click. You know, you're probably working off not too much of a learning curve that first time around, just because he got here. It was pretty much, here's the car. We're not going to change too much. You're just going to drive and see how it is. And now he got the car back in the garage. He's under the hood. He's tinkering with things. He's adjusting gauges. He's cutting wires and stuff like that. And maybe some stuff just wasn't wired correctly. And that's why there was such a, maybe just a fault for that 90 minutes, because like Dan said, it seemed like from the get-go, it was a better team in Philadelphia. And I mean, they had their times here and there, they had a few chances, but nothing that necessarily Andre Blake, I mean, in goal is fantastic. So you need more than just a good shot. You need a great shot to beat him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you needed a great offensive performance to get past that back line, which is one of the better, more well-rounded, experienced back lines that have been playing together for nearly a decade at this point. So you had to be on, despite how Philadelphia had started this season, just the one win, three draws. They got the win the previous weekend in Portland, so it's not like they were coming off a poor run of form. They were in pretty decent form, but you would have needed an all-star performance to beat Philadelphia, and you just didn't get it on Saturday, which is fine. I mean, the rest of the season's been fine so far. It's been pretty good so far. So you're never going to go perfect, and no one's ever going to be the Invincibles unless it does happen. But that's unlikely in the way this league is set up. But yeah, I mean, I'm okay with the loss. I mean, you want to see a better performance, but overall, it's not like there was a whole lot there that led you to be concerned about anything you saw the previous couple weeks. It doesn't really... That result in the performance, for me, I guess, it doesn't lead me to be too concerned about what's coming in the future.
No, I don't think so. This was going into a place that is amazingly hard to win at for anybody. And unlike the wins against Orlando and LAFC and the draw with Columbus, this was the first one where it felt like, we might have been in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I just felt like whoever was going to show up in Philadelphia last Saturday afternoon was going to take a loss. I don't think they were beatable on Saturday. So I'm with you, Jonathan. It just doesn't concern me that much. They go 3-1-1 through the first five, probably the toughest five-game stretch of the season. I mean, we'll take that. Now the question is, can they just, you know, bounce right back after that road loss and turn it around? So, but yeah, no, I'm not concerned too much about it either. It's too early to get worked up.
And like Dan said, the reaction to that loss is going to be more important than anything we saw this past weekend. And with that too, out of this tough opening stretch to start the season, it does get a little easier here. Maybe not this week with RSL as much, but you're going to have easier competition in the coming weeks. My question is, because we've seen this, I think, at least in the past, where they almost drop their level to match the team and like make it interesting just for the sake of like TV ratings. Not really, but just like they just find their way to, they chameleon it, where you get to the pitch and you're like, okay, they're very good, we're going to raise our game. And then the next week, these guys are garbage, let's lower our game. And then it's always competitive and it's always back and forth. You have a good squad, you have a good roster. Eric Ramsey is going to implement more of his tactics and get this team cooking. Just play at the level and the quality that you're able to, and you're going to be fine. So that's going to be more interesting for me to watch in the coming weeks rather than anything we saw this past weekend.
Yeah, I think a lot of the troubles for Saturday came in that defensive side, which we've seen for the most part has had its moments where they've been solid, but they've also had, it's been an up and down season for the defense so far. They had the Orlando game where there was a lot of questions coming out after that one because of the chances they gave up and the spaces that were created. But then the following week, they completely shut down LAFC. Then you move into Saturday where you have Miguel Tapias out because of an injury. So you're starting Devin Pedelford, who's only played a couple games at center back with MNUFC 2. And that seemed to have kind of shaken up how things were playing in that defensive structure. And it really took them out of shape because Philadelphia's offense is just absolutely incredible. And there was, you're going to have Devin Pedelford's best game ever coming off of already his best game ever. He would have had to up it a level. And you just weren't getting that. That was a really tough ask for a young kid in a tough situation, in a tough environment. So I'm not too concerned. And we move on. And overall, big picture standpoint from the opening 5 weeks of the season for Minnesota, now moving into match day 8, because maths don't make sense in MLS or college football. So we move on to match day 8. Minnesota sitting healthily 3-1-1 on the season, I believe. I would venture to guess that when the schedule came out a couple months ago at this point, and Loons fans saw that schedule, like, oh man, can we get like 1-2 wins out of this thing and maybe a draw and kind of just squeak by with a couple points? You get 10 points out of that, everybody's running to the bank.
Oh, and no doubt about it. I mean, you looked at that, and the funny thing is that this team, this is the third year in a row that they've gone through their first four matches without a loss. And it didn't pan out well at all last year. So I think the main thing for them would be right now is to say, yeah, we got off to a good start, but that doesn't mean anything if you don't continue to play well. And I don't know about you guys, but with this start, I think injuries are the key. I mean, and isn't it that way every year? Yeah. It's no coincidence that things got a lot tougher for this team when Robin Lode went down last year. And it's no coincidence that he's playing well this year. They, and also the other point, AJ, would be that doing this without Emmanuel Reynoso. And is that a good thing? I mean, where are we going with this? I mean, because every spring, it's been this roller coaster ride with Reynoso. You know, where is he? When is he coming? Is he in shape? Is he out of shape? I mean, you know, it's like, where's Waldo? Only it's, where's Reynoso? Where's Ray, you know? Let's find him, and then once you find him, is he ready to play? So it's a weird start, but it's kind of cool they're doing it without, you know, one of the best tens in the league.
And, I mean, they are doing it without him, but I would argue that it's almost better this year around because there's less uncertainty about what the situation is with him. You know what's going on with him now. You're just getting pretty much paperwork filed. That's it. We're waiting to get a couple pages stamped so he can get back on a plane and get here.
Yeah, at least you know where he is this time, as opposed to last season where you yes. couldn't locate him.
Yeah, but that should have been done 2 months ago. You know,
I agree, but given
that would have required him to be here during the winter, which if you have the choice between Argentina and Minnesota during the winter months, mm-hmm. I think that's a easy choice.
But yeah. what I will say is, despite still some kerfuffling around with like getting stuff straightened out, the off season for this team to now, it feels like there's a plan. Mm-hmm. It feels like there's organization. I'm probably like a lot of fans. Left in like this murky cloud of like, my compass doesn't work. I don't know where to go. There's no lights around me. There's no signaling statues. I don't know where we are in the landscape. Now there's a plan. There's a young, exciting head coach. They have the players in the roster. And like to Dan's point, you have a guy like Robin Lud back and healthy. Teams get hurt. People get hurt. That's just how it is. And that's every sport. You're going to have to deal with that, but it's how you react. And I feel like, given some of the depth to this team, they're able to maybe respond better than what we saw last year, where it was like patchwork. The hot air balloon might have some holes poked into it, but they're ready to patch those things up with duct tape or cloth or whatever and stay afloat. So right now I'm feeling a lot more confident than I was a couple months ago about this club. And, you know, the fact that they are now doing it in the first 5 weeks, like 6 weeks of the season, for them, I guess, heading into match week 8, I'm both surprised and pleased because I didn't expect this solid of a start from them.
So, yeah. Let me follow up on that. Ask you guys. Okay, I agree with you. Is that because of Eric Ramsey? Is that because of Robin Lud? Is that because of what Cameron Knowles did? Why do we have more confidence and feel better about this than we did a year ago or the year before that?
So I think, for me, it's the lack of turnover on the roster. I mean, we went through the offseason and there was all these questions about, oh, who's going to be the head coach? When's the technical director going to get here? The one thing that we didn't ever have to question is, are they going to be able to field a team like you were asking in Austin, like you were asking in LAFC, where they have no depth other than the starting 11? Minnesota always had that depth, whether you liked it or not. It was always a solid depth, and they should always have been able to compete with the roster that they've built over the last couple of years. So I think for me, it's the stability on the roster, the guys who are actually on the field itself. For me, I think that's what did it, and the fact that Cameron Knowles got over so well with that club or with the roster and that locker room, I think that really helped solidify and calm things down. And the fact that it just did feel like once Khaled got in, and a head coach search got underway, it felt like things kind of started, the ball started rolling very quickly towards a head coach coming in. It wasn't going to be a process that we were going to be sitting here for half a season waiting for the head coach to get in. It was something that happened very quickly. Eric Ramsey got in. Everybody kind of knew what was going to happen, what the next step in the process was going to be. And so there wasn't a whole lot of questions from inside the locker room, it felt like, as opposed to us on the outside looking in, just kind of like, what the heck is going on here? Are we going to have a head coach? Are we going to have a team? What's going on? It felt really stable from the inside, and that's kind of how it projected to me, and that's why it was a much better start than you would have expected with how the offseason went.
And with that stability, I think it speaks to maybe the chemistry in the locker room. You have to look at, given kind of the turbulence and like the rough waters they faced, the locker room, for the most part, like you said, Jonathan, not a lot of turnover. You have a lot of familiar faces in there, and you're getting guys back healthy. And now, like a guy like Teemu Pukki, who over the last international break wore the armband for Finland, he's a leader. He's got his Finnish counterpart in Robin Lud back, and that's a guy who's been in this locker room for a while. People look to him as a leader. Will Trapp's still around. Even guys like Hasani Dotson, who've been through a lot. This guy battled tough injury despite being a younger face as well. He knows Minnesota. He kind of breathes Minnesota. So when it comes to the characters in this locker room, it seems like they're more mature. And so to kind of get through all that, because when you have a lot of those familiar faces, when you go through all this stuff and maybe stuff just doesn't work out, things can turn sour, things can get bad, and you know, tensions can rise. But to get through all this with what seemingly is little or no fuss, it speaks to just kind of how tight knit this locker room is, to where heart of the season, things turn bad. They have a bad run of form and maybe they need to turn things around. Quick closed door meeting. Say, guys, let's snap out of it. Let's get back to it here. And they might be able to get things back and straight away. And that's where some other locker rooms may fault at, because they just don't have that. You're putting talented people together on some other teams, but at the same time, just because you have the talent doesn't mean the personalities mesh. Similar to maybe the show.
I think a lot of it was just that veteran leadership, as you pointed to, AJ, there. You have Timo Pukki up top, 33, 34 years old. You have Will Trapp, Michael Boxall. These guys are veterans. You don't have, you know, whether you like it or not, you don't have a whole lot of young guys in that locker room at the moment. You've got guys that have been veterans for 5, 6, 7 years. And that really helped solidify things and keep things stable. There wasn't a whole lot of panicking, and there wasn't a whole lot of new faces to get adjusted to the state, to the team, to the city. It was just a lot of the same things that we saw from last year into this year, except for the technical director, except for the head coach. I think that's what did it for me. My question to you guys is now, and we've kind of hit on it a little bit, Emmanuel Reynoso been out of the lineup, hasn't started yet. We've seen him for a couple minutes against LAFC. With what we've seen so far from this team, and I would venture to guess we all like what we've seen so far with this high pressing style, with this fast pace, getting the ball up quickly into those dangerous areas. How does Emmanuel Reynoso fit into that? Because we know he's not the most willing defender. I guess that's the most easy way to say it. He's not going to track back like we've seen Robin Lund do. How does he fit into this system? And how do the team adjust to him? Because you're not going to keep Emmanuel Reynoso out. You're not going to move him on, because he's, besides maybe Lionel Messi, he's one of the best playmakers in this entire league. You're going to have to play him. But he doesn't necessarily fit what they really want to do on the field. We thought that about Timo Pukki, but he's fitting just masterfully with that high pressing, with kind of countering and getting on defenders. How does Emmanuel Reynoso fit into this, and what adjustments do you think are made when Reynoso gets into the lineup full time? You are muted.
Dan might be muted, so I'll take over here while he figures the audio out. But you know, it's tough because I feel like with him, you have the gift of progressive passing up the field to create chances, but I think maybe his, and this is going to sound weird, but like his legs will almost limit him in a sense as well, because he's just not the fastest. So it's that problem of elite top level skill, but on the outside, like he's not going to keep up with a guy like Sung Min Jung. Timo Pukki certainly could. you're not going to keep up with a guy like Bonhugli Longwane. It's to slot him in, stuff is going to have to change a little bit. And I think just like how they funnel the ball up the field. Because right now, when they go three wide in that middle, you're going to be able to pretty much have anybody with you running in pace. They have the speed for that. They have, when you add Reynoso, you're going to probably have to look for a guy like Bongi or Song Benjong to maybe get in behind more, stretch the field out to allow either Reynoso room to run in front of him, or cause one of the fullbacks, cause one of the center backs to step up so that it opens up space for a winger to maybe cut in behind and then thread a pass through. So the issue there too is like, it's been working. So you don't want to have to change much, but you're going to, you have to, because he's simply too good of a player to keep on the bench to start a game. You know,
who do you take out? Because the way the midfield is played so far, you don't want to disturb that, because the way Will Trapp, Hassani Dotson, and Robin Lode have played together in that midfield, shutting things down in those transition moments, has been great for this team. It keeps the ball in those areas, the high areas where the Loons are able to just quickly transition and keep on the attack. But if you take Robin Lode out and put Reynoso in, then you're going back to what we saw last season, where there was struggles in those moments. If you take Will Trapp out, you're kind of missing the defender / distributor part. Can't take Hassani Dotson out, because he's been probably the best player on this team. The numbers aren't going to show up on the stat sheet, but game in and game out, consistency and what he's been able to do in disturbing those transition moments for the opposing team and getting the transition started for Minnesota, he's been probably the best player on this team throughout the first 5 weeks. So it's really hard to take any of those guys out, but as you said, AJ, you're not going to not play play Emmanuel Reynoso. So
yeah,
however they do it, it's going to change how this team operates. And I'm not concerned. I'm just very interested to see how it changes when Reynoso gets into the lineup.
So it depends on the formation, right? I mean, if you go back to, you know, Pookie up top, and then you have Reynoso in the 10, which where he needs to be. He needs to be in the middle of the pitch. And then you've got Lode and Bongi, one on each side, right? And then what's your midfield? Trap?
That's what Dotson. We were just discussing. How do you...
Dotson and somebody. And then
you're taking Song Bin-jong out with how he's played this season?
Well, I'm taking him out before I'm leaving Reynoso out, and I think
I wouldn't take Bongi him out. I think for me, and this is going to be difficult, I think for me, I don't want to say it because I like Will Trapp, but I think I'm taking Will Trapp out, having a midfield of Robin Lode and Hassani Dotson, and having Song Bin-jong on the right, Bongukle Hlongwane on the left, and Reynoso as the number 10 with Timu Pukki up top, and kind of just riding with that and seeing what goes on and seeing how it goes, because we've seen Robin Lode isn't playing the full 90 minutes. He just isn't this year. So if you can bring on Will Trapp later in games, veteran leadership, he's going to be able to do what you asked Robin Lode to do. He's not going to be the distributor that Robin Lode is, and he's not going to get as high up as Robin Lode is, but say you're already up because Robin Lode's on the field with the rest of the attacking talent, it's a good option to bring off the bench. I think that's probably going to be the piece that gets taken off is Will Trapp in place of Emmanuel Reynoso. That'd be my best guess, but of course we just haven't seen it yet, so it's hard to say.
So then who's the defensive mid instead of Trapp?
It's going to be Hassani. It's going to be a mixture of Hassani and Robin Lode in this vision, because you're not going to have the all-out defensive guy like Will Trapp is, but you're also, I would imagine, you can get enough out of Robin Lode and Hassani Dotson, especially if they have Reynoso in front of them. They don't have that all-out need like they've had this past couple weeks to get forward to help out the attack, because you have Reynoso there to do that for you. Get the ball into him in those transition moments, and he can distribute it to Song Bin-jong or Bongukle Hlongwane cutting in, or Timu Pukki running off the back shoulder of a defender. I think there's a little bit more ability for the midfielders to stay back with Reynoso in the lineup.
Yeah, it's a great problem to have. And what's tough to know about this is we don't know Eric Ramsey's thoughts on this. We don't know how he feels. Some guys will come in and they go, this is my formation.
Yeah.
We're putting the guys where they fit best. Some coaches will come in and they'll be willing to change the formation depending on what the players, the talent available dictates. So it'll be really interesting to see how Ramsey handles this situation, because there are some tough decisions that are coming up pretty quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd say if everything's good up front, just start the game without Dane St. Clair and play 11 up.
Pull the goalie.
All you need to do is just score more than the opponent. If you control possession, there's nobody to shoot at, you know, just. And then when you want to get defensive, then you take off a guy like Robin Lode and boom, Dane St. Clair gets in goal.
The very little credibility we had just flushed away. Thanks, AJ.
AJ brought Canadian Busquets back. We thought he was dead for the season, but AJ's like, nah, we're reviving him. He's back. Canadian Busquets is back.
Pull the goalie, eh?
You tell your inner hockey came out in that segment there. Since we've got a hard out here in a little bit, let's skip right past, look across the league. Let's skip right past the preview for this weekend. Let's jump into the predictor. We've got no accountability sessions because it's still too early in the season. Not a whole lot to come off the charts, and I didn't look back at the last podcast to figure out what it was. I didn't do my homework, so let's just power through like I did in high school and forget that the homework existed.
How did that work out?
Summer school, baby.
Okay, the predictor. We pick three matches coming up in MLS soccer, including Minnesota United's upcoming match this weekend. You predict the winner or a draw and the score. You get a point for getting that portion of it correct. Bonus point if you get the score exactly correct.
Plenty to choose from this weekend. AJ, why don't you go first?
All right, we'll start off with the match that features Minnesota United taking on RSL. I got the Loons getting back to winning ways with a 2-1 win over Real Salt Lake.
All right, Dan.
Dog. 2-1. Okay, I'm going to wait on that one then. Now I got to come up with a new score. So LAFC versus LA Galaxy. Woo! At BMO Stadium. Woo! LAFC 2, Galaxy 1.
All right. I'm going back to Minnesota Real Salt Lake. We just saw Chicho Arango net a hat trick because guess what? He scores goals. And LAFC got rid of him a couple years ago for no reason. And I don't know why, but he's done nothing but score goals like he was brought in to do for Real Salt Lake, and he's continuing to do it. I'm saying we're getting high scoring. Dan's got a lot of goal calls in him this weekend. 3-3 between these two teams, boys, this weekend at Allianz Field. We are in for a show.
Wow.
It's not going to be the show that's in Philadelphia, but it's going to be quite the show at Allianz Field. We'll do snake order, so I'll go again here. Inter Miami hosting Colorado. Colorado are a bit of a mess, a little dysfunctional right now, though. Heck of a goal from Mihailovic this weekend, and that is an incredible free kick from very close range and able to curl it in over the wall, up and over, and curl it into the far post. Incredible goal. I'm going Inter Miami 3, Colorado 0.
Wow.
Dan?
Okay. I'll go back to Minnesota hosting Real Salt Lake on Saturday night. I don't know. I'm going to go 2-2 draw.
All right.
My next one, I'm going to go Columbus taking on DC United. The crew are a wagon. They look like Charlie Brown. I'm going to back them here in this matchup. 2-0 win for Columbus over DC. And then on my secondary roundabout here on the snake, Cincinnati taking on New York Red Bulls here. I'm going to go with a 2-1 win for Cincinnati.
All right, Dan.
Cool. I'm going to go Sunday's matchup. I'm going to have Portland over Sporting Kansas City 2-1.
All right. I like it. Final pick of the predictor. I'm going back to that LA Derby, Dan. You said 2-1 LAFC, right?
That's correct.
I like what I'm seeing from LA Galaxy this season. In the goal scoring department, not the defensive department, because they're just letting in a ton of goals. They're shipping a ton of goals. But this is a different LA Galaxy team this year. I'm going LA Galaxy 3, LAFC 3. This is going to be a shootout. Kai Kamara hat trick, boys. Kai Kamara hat trick.
You just called for 12 goals in two matches that you picked.
Let's do it.
What is this? What is this?
It's going to be a high scoring weekend. MLS is trying to compete with the greatest night in sports entertainment. They got to get the eyeballs somehow.
12 goals in two matches. All right. Yep.
Why not? All right. So that's the predictor. Let's get into write that down again. No accountability session. We'll get to that later on in future weeks. But it is this our final segment of the show where we each make 3 soccer-related predictions. Don't necessarily have to be scoreline predictions. One of them does have to be Minnesota United-related. We'll keep track of the correct predictions throughout the year. We'll call them goals. Person with the most goals at the end of the year wins the golden boot, which we've never actually handed out because it doesn't actually exist, just like any other thing in the internet these days. So since I went last, I'll start first here. Write this down, and this is leading off from the thing I just said. Kai Kamara, write this down, boys. Hat trick for LAFC this weekend. I don't know if he's playing or not, but write it down. Kai Kamara, hat trick. Dan?
Wow. Okay. Minnesota versus Real Salt Lake. Bongi will get his first start of the year. Is that do I get credit for that, or is that a gimme?
No, I don't necessarily say it's a gimme. We don't know who's going to start.
All right, Bongi's going to start Saturday.
It's only a gimme if you've already talked to Eric Ramsey and he's tipped you off.
he's denying that, so we don't know.
I'm looking at some forecasts here. And it doesn't look like this is going to be anywhere near a tap-in, but it's also not a golazo. But I'm going to say somewhere around the MLS, you will see the high-vis orange ball broken out this weekend.
Yes.
Somewhere around the MLS, you'll see that.
Bring on the orange ball. All right, AJ, your second one?
My second one. Jonathan, you went with a hat trick. I'm also going to go with a hat trick, but not in the sense of one person. There will be a Finnish hat trick between Minnesota and RSL. So between Robin Lund and Teemu Pukki, they will have 3 goals together this weekend.
I like it.
All right. Goals. All right. You're good. You put on your creative hat today. I like it.
Yeah.
Match week 8 of the MLS, there will be at least one red card and at least one penalty kick, but they won't be on the same incident. Write that down.
All right.
That just sounds like work for Jonathan.
Yes.
I'll go back and listen and wonder what the heck you just said and try and figure out what the heck, how I figure that out.
Just give them the point. It's easier.
All right. Write this down. Minnesota United will have 2 double-digit goal scorers this season. Write that down.
Ooh.
I don't know who. I'm not going to clarify because I want this to be as vague as possible. But 2 double-digit goal scorers for Minnesota United this season.
Yeah, they could.
And my final one, write this down. I think I did this last year, and I came very close, but I'm going to do it again this year because I believe in Canadian Busquets. Write this down. Dane St. Clair will have double-digit clean sheets this season.
Yes. Oops.
I like it, eh? Let's pull the goalie.
All right, Dan, your final one for the week.
Okay, more homework for Jonathan.
Jonathan,
you predicted 12 goals in just 2 matches already for next week.
Yep.
I'm going to say that 12 will be a half of what's scored. So there will be 24 less goals scored in match week 8 in the MLS.
That's so much math.
I know. Isn't it great?
Thank God I can just throw all the scores in an Excel spreadsheet and can just do it for me.
Cool. Write that down.
All right, AJ, your final one. Please don't. Please no more math.
No. This is simple counting.
math.
At least one more time this season, there will be a Minnesota United goal scorer that receives a yellow card for taking their shirt off after scoring a goal.
I like it.
I also have one more late addition. Not a late addition. This is actually a super early addition. Back on March 18th, I was reached out to by loyal listener Connor, who wanted to get in on the next session of Write That Down. So that just shows how long it's been since our last recording time. Connor is going back. He's referring to some Write That Down that he wrote, submitted a couple of years ago, but he's going back on it now. Robin Lund, write this down, will have 10 or more goals this year for Minnesota.
Oh, I like it. I was going to say he can't go back to the Leeds winning the Premier League because they're not in the Premier League. So long may it stay that way. Sorry, Leeds.
I like it.
I'm all for fan interaction here. Get us more of those listener predictions. Fire a tweet, fire an email, however you want to get us a message. Send us a raven if that's how you feel like you can get us a prediction. But we'll take your listener predictions. Boys, been good catching up again for the first time in a couple weeks. Hopefully we'll be back next week. No promises. Schedules are crazy, so we'll see what happens. But Loons fans, thanks for sticking around with us, and thanks for coming back. We will continue to talk Minnesota United right here on Loon Talk next week. Talk to you then.
See you.